Democrat Mike Dendecker fights for us every single day in the assembly. Mike is delivering vital funding for our city, protecting working families and frontline workers, and standing up to extremists to protect our values. Vote by mail, vote early, or vote in person on June 23rd and re-elect our champion, Mike Dendecker. Paid for by New Yorkers for Flexible Work and not expressly authorized or requested by any candidate or by any candidate's political committee or any of its agents.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Michael Finney. This is Consumer Talk on America's finest radio station, KGO. On the live line right now is civil rights and consumer rights attorney out of New York, Richard C. Bell. He's dropping by. We're very fortunate because he's an expert. We're going to have him talk about COVID liability waivers. Richard, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for inviting me, Michael.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. What is a COVID liability waiver?
Okay, so a store or a restaurant or a gym may present you with a piece of paper when you walk in, and they say, please sign this before you can come in. And basically, it will say that if you get COVID, that you will not be able to succeed in a negligence lawsuit against them. That's what it's going to say. That doesn't necessarily mean that's what it is.
Okay. So are these a part of the new normal?
They could be a part of the new normal, but my opinion is they're not going to be as effective as the businesses think they are, and the consumers are not going to have particularly good success on COVID lawsuits for negligence.
So what are we signing away when we sign one of these waivers? We have our producer of this program is getting her hair cut tomorrow, and she has to sign a waiver. What is she signing away?
She is signing away the right to sue that hair establishment if she gets COVID and she can prove it's from that establishment and they did something that would fall under a category of ordinary negligence, but not gross negligence.
Gross negligence is you say, for instance, oh, we're covering our mouths, but you're not. Something like that, where it's real obvious, right?
Yeah, or let's say it's a restaurant and you're putting the tables 2 feet apart instead of six, or you're a gym and you have an employee that's having symptoms and you let him work there anyway. Those kinds of things would probably be considered gross negligence.
Now, can they sneak an arbitration clause into these waivers? You know, you're looking at this dense print across a page when you're just trying to get your hair cut. Could they have a line in there that says, oh, by the way, you can't go to court, you've got to go to arbitration?
They could put that line in there, but they're going to basically have the same problem where these waivers or this arbitration clause regarding gross negligence is going to be determined by a court, and it's likely that they're not going to be able to waive out of gross negligence or force you into an arbitration under gross negligence.
You don't think these protect a company that much. You just said it, and when we spoke before, why?
Well, because under circumstances of general negligence, something like they're not disinfecting at reasonable times or they're not social distancing at reasonable times, that's one thing. And even these parts of gross negligence, I think it's a fallacy that they're really protecting themselves, because if they're doing something that falls under those examples I gave you of gross negligence, that waiver's not going to stand up anyway. So I think they have a false sense of security. But I think the bigger issue for the consumer is to understand that if, unfortunately, you did get COVID and you had a serious case and you try to sue an establishment because you think you got it there, you have an extremely high hurdle to prove that you got it there. And other than having a big outbreak that contact traced for 130 cases to one establishment, you know, good luck in proving you got it from there when you've had contact with 30 other people and places.
In Tulsa, Oklahoma, while we're speaking right now, Richard, the president is holding or is about to hold one of his big rallies, and they had participants sign a waiver. Would that stand up?
Well, my understanding, I'm not an Oklahoma lawyer, but I did read up on the law in Oklahoma, and they seem to have that same gross negligence exception. So not if there was gross negligence.
Richard C. Bell, what's your website if people want to get in contact with you?
877-CALLLAW.com.
We'll get that posted on our website as well. Richard C. Bell, thank you very much for joining us. You've been very informative.
My pleasure, Michael. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Now let's talk to John Rothman. His show is beginning to start in about 4 minutes. John, are you going to be able to talk and watch the president's rally at the same time?
You know, multitasking is something I leave to you. I will do my humble best. Oh, humble, did I say humble?
I'll bet you will.
So let me tell you, we have so much tonight. The first thing we're going to do, of course, is deal with the rally and the fact that the campaign was so intent on involving people. They thought they were going to have an overflow crowd. Turns out they have no overflow crowd, and it turns out they have a smaller crowd than they thought. We have the Trump advance team members, six of them who tested positive for the coronavirus. And on top of the rally, and I was just talking to Josh, who's going to be producing it, and Lynn. Josh is engineering, Lynn is producing. I was just talking to them about seeing if we can get some excerpts of what the president says. But we also now have another national question, and that has to do with the fact that the attorney, the federal prosecutor in New York for the Southern District, was fired by the president. Now, last night when I was on the air, I announced that he had resigned because that's what the attorney general put out. Well, it turns out he didn't resign. The president had to fire him. And let me tell you, this is the person who is doing the investigation of Rudy Giuliani, of the president's children. I think it's an investigation that even involves the president. And, of course, the president, and you'll hear his voice saying, oh, I had nothing to do with it, nothing to do with it. Turns out he did. And this extraordinary standoff between the attorney general and Manhattan's top federal prosecutor ended just a few hours ago with the prosecutor finally agreeing to leave his job with the assurance that the investigators of the by the prosecutor's office into the president and his allies would not be disrupted. If you believe that, I have a bridge I'd like to sell you. So
yeah, I know. Why would he believe that? What do you think is really going on, real quick?
I don't think he has a choice. That is to say, the White House lied, saying he was fired. He said, I wasn't fired. He read about it in a press release. He said, I'm staying until my successor is confirmed. The only person who has the power to fire him, not the attorney general, because this is court-appointed, it has to be the president himself. And so what is quite remarkable is the president denies that he fired him, but in fact, that's exactly what happened. So there is back and forth, and I think part of the reason is the president is very close to people who are being investigated and who may well be guilty. So we'll deal with that. We'll deal with the rally. Oh, and one more thing, Michael, if we have time, and that is what happened to the statues in Golden Gate Park. It was stunning. The wonderful statue of Francis Scott Key, which I used to climb on as a kid, the statue of Unipio Serra, the statue of Ulysses S. Grant, which seems to me fought for the Union and won the Civil War, all these statues were toppled. And I've had a lot of listeners who say, what do you think of that? And I better answer that question, too. So as you can see, I don't have the complex, difficult matters that you deal with. But I am going to do my best tonight to deal with all of this and still integrate what the president says. And, Michael, it's a pleasure. And, by the way, Laura looks great, and I'm sure when her hair is cut properly, she'll look, well, she can't look any better. You know who cuts my hair, Michael? My beloved wife.
Who?
My wife. All right. I'll see you next week.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what it is. Hey, everybody, you got to hang around and talk to John Rothman. I want to hear the whole statue debate. I think statues, have we put up a new statue in like 100 years? Anyway,
oh, yes, of course. Of course we have. And one day, there'll be a Michael Finney statue somewhere, and nobody will topple it, I promise you.
Well, then I'm for sure listening to that. John Rothman, everybody, that wraps it up for me and Consumer Talk today. We'll be here next Saturday at 3 o'clock. So please join us then for Consumer Talk. I'm Michael Finney. This is America's finest radio station by proof that John Rothman works here. KGO, San Francisco, San Jose,